Welcome to this edition of Desktop Management Depot. I'm your host, Abby Weintraub. I've been talking with Mark Kadrich, CEO and Chief Evangelist at the Security Consortium, about Windows Endpoint Security challenges. Our first two podcasts focused on updates to Windows security models and strategies, and new Windows features that you should be aware of. To complete our series, Mark will be sharing his thoughts on endpoint security risks in cloud computing environments and endpoint security tools that should be on your radar. Thanks for joining us again, Mark.
No, you're welcome. This is fun.
Okay, let's get started.
Super.
What are some of the potential endpoint security risks in a cloud computing environment?
Well, how about a pile, millions of lines of untrusted code? You've got vendors that are supplying these cloud computing services, and they are essentially you're signing an agreement with them that says, you know, you're not going to try and hack, you're not going to try and reverse engineer, your SLA is zero. You know, essentially if our code fails and burns your building down, it's not our problem. So it's unknown, untrusted, untested, and unvalidated code and applications that we're relying on. Combine that with the license agreements and the service level agreements, and you have another recipe for disaster. There's another side of this that's actually pretty insidious, too, that we've been tracking at TSC, and that is the fact that from a cloud computing perspective, you can go out and buy cloud resources and do anything you want with them. And without mentioning any names, TSC, for the last 3 months, has seen an increase in attacks where a hacker will take a credit card, buy a number, you know, some resources from one of these providers, and then use those resources to attack networks. And we're seeing more of that. We tell the provider, and the provider sends us a nice note saying, oh, by the way, it's really not us. And then they go on to say, oh, by the way, this is really a great service, and you should buy it. And in the closing paragraph, they say, oh, yeah, it was a bad person using our really good services, and we made them stop. And so that's another side of cloud services that makes it easy for people to get huge amounts of resources that they can turn against other people on the Internet.
So, Mark, would you say the same thing about internal cloud services?
Well, internal cloud services are typically more application-focused. It's not like you can go out and say, oh, I need 1,500 instances of Windows XP so I can run this attack against, this exploit against the rest of the Internet. But I think internally, the applications, and a lot of our customers, quite frankly, are concerned enough about their internal applications that they're asking us to come in and help them evaluate the security posture of those applications, mostly because they're worried about, you know, obviously people misusing it, but more importantly, the loss of data. Because now, like the credit card problem, you've got data that's now becoming more centralized again. So the target that's pasted on that becomes a lot easier to see. So think of it this way. In a typical environment where, you know, people have these desktop applications spread out through their network and getting pieces of information that, let's say, you've got some intellectual property spread out over the network, now with internal cloud applications, that information is now resident in one spot. Now, granted, it solves the backup problems, it solves the restore problems, it makes the system administrator's life a lot easier to deal with from a business continuity perspective. But those same things that make his life easier are also the things that allow theft of information to occur more quickly because they don't have to search through the entire network.
So in terms of planning for endpoint security in a cloud computing environment, what guidelines do you give IT shops, assuming, of course, that they're asking at this point?
Once again, that depends on the kind of an environment that our customers have. I mean, clearly there's the make sure the endpoint is protected, make sure you have a minimum level of policy associated with it. But what we're also doing is trying to help them understand what cloud services people are using. We did another survey during this same presentation about what cloud services people thought were running on their network. And clearly, not everybody is comfortable with their level of knowledge regarding the utilization of these services on their network. So, you know, being able to enumerate and articulate precisely what cloud services are in operation on your network, I think, is a huge step in the right direction. Because once you do that, you know, once you understand, you know, what your threat landscape is, it becomes a lot easier for you to craft internal solutions. So that's the very first bit of advice we give people. And the second bit of advice is, if you've got a policy, you have to make sure that you've got some kind of enforcement mechanism, some way to evaluate that the policy is being complied with, and some way to address non-compliant endpoints. That's, you know, in a few words, very easy to say, but it turns out to be a very hard problem to solve.
Are there any new endpoint security tools, open source or otherwise, that you found should be on people's radar?
Going through most of the vendors are talking about integrated technology. There's some appliance vendors out there that are talking about cloud computing, security, universal threat managers as appliances, you know, another box to go on your network. I think the vendors are still thrashing as far as their ability to generate a useful suite of products that people can live with. Some of them, you know, hit a sweet spot for some customers, some of them don't. I haven't seen anything in the last few months on the open source side of it that I would consider to be something to rush out and grab. And, you know, most people have Nmap running on their network. We've got some open source application or cloud assessment services, if you will, web application assessments like Nikto, that as an open source tool are, you know, they're fairly good. But nothing that I've seen that I can sit back and say, oh my God, I've got to have this and tell all my customers to go get it. We have some folks now that are testing some tools to deal with the phishing problem, which we consider to be very promising at this point. It changes the formula and eliminates some of the reward that the phishers get. But I can't say much more beyond that at this point because they're still under development and we're helping our customers, you know, build these products and build them right.
Thanks, Mark. Is there anything that you'd like to add or share with our audience?
The one thing I would add is that as a consumer of any of these tools, you need to be asking your vendors, you know, what kind of security testing have you put your tools through? Some of the very tools that are designed to provide security have been the vectors of attack. And software is software is software is software. And most of the software companies out there that are selling security tools are software companies selling security tools. And the actual security assessment that goes into those products, in my opinion, could be significantly better than it is at this present point in time. I think if they paid more attention to the security issues of their own products, they would make much better products and their customers would be much happier.
Thanks again, Mark. It's been great speaking with you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And that concludes part three of our Windows Endpoint Security podcast series with Mark Cadridge.